It's November, and time to remember the rebels and rebellions of history. From that famous one on the 5th of November, to the people who unexpectedly found themselves on the wrong side, and from the famous and infamous inhabitants of the Tower of London, to the men who almost derailed the Tudor dynasty before it really got a chance to start, we're exploring a somewhat darker side of history. So join the fun. This week, let's take a look at some of the unlikely rebels who were also queen consorts of England. First, we'll check in with Eleanor of Aquitaine. If you're listening to this in early November 2021, I can't help but mentioning that we'll be exploring Eleanor in great detail with the Smithsonian on the 9th of November. Check out smithsonianassociates.org or my website for info and registration. Eleanor of Aquitaine is a famous queen and rebel, and for good reason. She is the only woman to be queen consort of France and then queen consort of England, having lobbied for the annulment of her first marriage and taking control of the choice of her second husband. After her marriage to Louis VII of France was annulled in March 1152, Eleanor became the wife of the Duke of Normandy just 8 weeks later, having reached out to him and asking him to come marry her. That marriage started out well, with Henry and Eleanor being crowned King and Queen of England just 2 years later. One of the primary reasons for the annulment between Louis was that Eleanor had had only daughters in her first marriage. Not so with her second. Eleanor bore 5 sons to Henry II, 4 of whom lived to adulthood. And it was these sons who would ultimately lead to Eleanor's rebellion. The power struggles among the sons ranged throughout the reign of Henry II. After first son William died, Henry, called Young Henry to differentiate him from his father, Henry the King, became the heir and was eventually crowned a sort of junior king during his father's reign. Richard, reportedly Eleanor's favorite child, became the Duke of Aquitaine. Eventually, young Henry became frustrated with his lack of true power, especially when he saw the power his brother Richard had as the Duke. He rebelled against his father, and his brothers joined him in the rebellion, called the Revolt of 1173. And so did Eleanor. Or did she? In fact, there are rumors that Eleanor encouraged her sons to turn against their father. In reality, the facts of the rebellion don't really support this notion. Henry, the young king, started his rebellion while Eleanor was far away in Poitou. There's really not much evidence at all of Eleanor's part in the rebellion, despite there being accusations by the king's supporters that she participated actively. There's nothing to base that on. Even Peter of Blois never specifically accused Eleanor of participating in the rebellion. The only real evidence is that Eleanor remained in Poitou and didn't race to her husband's side to support him. Once the rebellion got really underway, Eleanor did her best to protect her sons and herself from her husband's forces. But that's not exactly a prime role in a rebellion. Ultimately, Henry II prevailed against his family. He forgave his sons, but he did not forgive his wife. Eleanor was arrested and held in a series of castles for the rest of her husband's life. She was kept away from court, and for the only time in her adult life, she had no political influence. It must have been incredibly frustrating for her. Eleanor also had limited interaction with her sons. She was released for special occasions, such as the Christmas court. You might get the idea if you've watched Lion in Winter. That movie is full of historic inaccuracies, but it's great and gives you the sense of the royal family, including Eleanor, at special occasions, and that is based on reality. Even so, those were short reprieves. When young Henry became ill and realized he was dying, he begged his father to forgive and release his mother. But Henry II refused, and Eleanor remained in prison. Considering her position as queen, her personal wealth and land ownings, which greatly enhanced the wealth and power and land of Henry II, as well as her providing the king several sons, it's surprising she would spend 16 years as an imprisoned rebel. Her time as a rebel ended when Henry II died in 1189 and Richard became the king. Releasing his mother from prison was one of the new king's very first acts. Eleanor quickly returned to the position she was used to holding, a powerful, influential woman, and a key player in the royal court. She was a primary advisor to Richard I throughout his reign. She lived well into the reign of King John, helping him gain and maintain his hold on the throne. With the power she exhibited throughout most of her life, her time as a rebel and prisoner was unexpected. Isabella of France lived a couple of centuries after Eleanor of Aquitaine. She's another French woman who came to England to marry the king. Isabella came in 1308 to marry King Edward II. The king wasn't really interested in his young wife because his attention was held by a young nobleman named Piers Gaveston. Eventually, the resentment against Gaveston among the other barons reached a boiling point, and he was assassinated in 1312. Isabella was pregnant by this time, and her son was born a few months later. She and the king settled into a good relationship and had three more children, another son, and two daughters. That happy marriage lasted a few more years. In 1318, however, the king appointed his new favorite, Hugh de Spencer, as the chamberlain. Although Isabella had learned to tolerate her husband's infidelities and favorites, de Spencer specifically challenged Isabella's authority. He was determined to come between Isabella and the king and to make it difficult for her to spend time with the king. By 1322, things had reached a crisis point. The king seemed to prefer de Spencer to his wife and was convinced in 1324 to go to war against Isabella's brother. After that, the king began to treat Isabella as an enemy. Isabella began looking for ways to repay her husband for this disrespect. In 1325, she went to France on Edward's behalf to negotiate a peace settlement with her brother. A few months later, Edward sent his son to France as well. Now, with her son in hand in France, backed by the protection of her French family, Isabella insisted her husband send de Spencer away from court, or she and the heir to the English throne would not return. The king refused, so the queen and Prince Edward remained in France. Her rebellion had begun. She maybe hadn't intended to rebel, but with de Spencer at the king's side, she saw no alternative. While in France, Isabella began a relationship of some sort with Roger Mortimer, a man who had rebelled against King Edward II and escaped to France. With Mortimer's help, Isabella arranged a betrothal between Prince Edward and the daughter of the Count of Hainault to gain mercenaries and cash so she could lead an invasion of England. When they arrived, the king's support dissolved. De Spencer and his father were captured, and Parliament demanded that the king abdicate in favor of his son. De Spencer was executed, and Edward II abdicated. Edward III became King of England at age 14 in 1327, with his mother as one of his main advisors. Given the power of de Spencer over the king, Isabella had felt she had no choice but to take drastic measures. Events worked in her favor as the king sent her and then their son to France, a land where she had the support of her family and access to power and money. From there, the relationship with Mortimer gave her the final piece to make the rebellion happen. Isabella did not have an official place in her son's regency council, but she still wielded extraordinary power. Surprisingly, she did not learn from the mistakes of men like Gaveston and de Spencer, and she and Mortimer began to display their arrogance and be dismissive of others at court. Edward III turned 17, and when he and his wife had a son in 1330, he decided it was time to rule on his own. he carried out a coup against his mother and Mortimer, arresting them both. Mortimer was hanged, and Isabella was held in house arrest for a while. Still, her son recognized her royal heritage, and her brief time of imprisonment ended, and she was able to travel freely. She also received a large income and seemed to be living as a typical dowager queen. But she wasn't a typical dowager queen. Isabella of France was a queen consort who became an unexpected rebel against her husband. She led a successful invasion and put her young son on the throne, positioning herself as a powerful force. Another unlikely rebel, and one who was very successful. Now, we'll jump forward again a couple of centuries to the days of the Wars of the Roses. This is a time when power shifted from Henry VI to Edward IV, and then back to Henry VI, and then back to Edward IV, meaning that all kinds of people became unlikely rebels as the crown came to be seen as sort of a revolving door. And this was also true, especially of two queen consorts. Let's start with the consort of Henry VI, Marguerite of Anjou. Marguerite was another French princess who came to England to marry the English king. Her job in particular was to heal the rift between the two countries. One problem with that plan was that some people in the court of Henry VI believed that the war with France should continue. After all, ending that war would be disrespectful to the glorious memory of Henry V. Others felt that the war had gotten too expensive and seemed to be going on forever with no victory in sight. That was the camp that wanted a peace treaty and supported the marriage between Henry VI and Princess Marguerite. All of this was happening in the court of a king who wasn't able to effectively deal with the power struggles among his leading nobles. It turned out that Marguerite was caught in the middle. Marguerite was seen as a foreigner and the representation of that old enemy, France. She married the king in 1445 when she was barely 15 years old. Even so, she became the target for everyone who was unhappy about what was happening at court. And at this point in Henry VI's reign, that group was large and vocal. Marguerite favored men like the Earl of Somerset, a member of the Beaufort family, and close relative of the king. Henry VI followed Marguerite's lead and supported Somerset as well, which led to huge problems with the other nobles. After years of marriage, Marguerite became pregnant in 1453. This greatly increased her power. She used this power to attempt to take control when her husband fell gravely ill months later. With the king incapacitated, the Duke of York made his move, alienating Marguerite and arresting her favorite, Somerset. Even though York exercised control of government, Marguerite maintained control of the king. And when the king recovered, Henry VI officially recognized the baby boy as his heir and restored Somerset to favor. Marguerite's star was on the rise once more. But the Duke of York was not about to bow out gracefully. Instead, he raised an army, claiming at first to be fighting against the king's evil ministers, but eventually claiming the throne for himself. Marguerite took a leading role, as Henry VI had recovered, but was still not a strong or active leader. A series of battles raged across the country, and the queen acted through her deputies. Even though she was acting in the name of the king, reports speak of Marguerite's Lancastrian troops. At the Second Battle of St. Albans, the Milanese Di Camillo mentions Marguerite specifically. Quote, Warwick decided to quit the field and push through right into St. Albans, where the queen was with 30,000 men. Another chronicler claimed that Henry VI trusted Marguerite to manage the battle more than he trusted the men around him. When Richard, Duke of York, was defeated and captured, he was beheaded and his head was put on a pike at the gates of the city of York. He was even crowned with a paper crown. While Marguerite was miles away when this happened, she was still blamed for that action. The Lancastrian forces were on a roll after York's death. But Richard's son, Edward, took up the Yorkist battle cry, and he proved more successful than his father. At the Battle of Towton, Yorkist forces prevailed, and Marguerite, this powerful queen consort, in a stroke, became a rebel. Separated from her husband, Marguerite fled with her son. In France, this rebel queen continued to work for the cause of her husband, and especially the cause of her son. For 7 years, Edward IV ruled England, and Marguerite was in exile. But her next chance came when an old enemy, Warwick, became a surprising rebel as well, turning against his great friend Edward IV and agreeing to help Marguerite restore Henry VI to power. These two unlikely rebels, and even more unlikely partners, worked together to raise sufficient forces to restore Henry VI to the throne. With the support of the King of France, Marguerite and the kingmaker, Warwick, made a deal. Marguerite's son, Edward, married Warwick's daughter, and then Marguerite sent Warwick ahead to start the fighting. He was successful, and Edward IV fled. Warwick released Henry VI from prison and restored him to the throne in October 1470. But the victory for Warwick and Marguerite was short-lived. Edward gathered forces abroad and returned to England the following March. Marguerite and Prince Edward led Henry VI's forces at the Battle of Tewkesbury in May 1471, but they were defeated. Even worse, Prince Edward was killed in, or right after, the battle. Edward IV had decisively defeated and killed Warwick at Barnet. Edward IV was restored to power, and Marguerite was now a prisoner. After Henry VI was murdered in the Tower of London, Marguerite was a rebel with no means of support. The Queen of England, made famous by Shakespeare as the, quote, she-wolf of France, and described as having, quote, a woman's heart wrapped in a tiger's hide, became an unlikely rebel and was ultimately imprisoned and then sent back to France, where she lived in poverty and despair until her death in 1482. But Marguerite wasn't the only queen turned unlikely rebel during the Wars of the Roses. With ongoing battles and victory changes, changing sides, and two reigns each for Henry VI and Edward IV, many people found themselves quite suddenly on the losing side. Some, like the Earl of Warwick, chose to become a rebel by switching sides, after being one of the primary supporters of Edward, Duke of York, and helping him gain the throne as Edward IV, Warwick turned against him and became a surprise supporter of Henry VI. But most people simply became rebels unexpectedly when their side lost. Elizabeth Woodville became a rebel more often than most. She initially became an unexpected rebel when her first husband, Sir John Grey, died fighting for Henry VI. Her lands were seized by the king, Edward IV. One legend has Elizabeth meeting King Edward when she was petitioning him to restore her land so she could care for her two young sons, Thomas and Richard Grey. Other reports have her meeting the king at court. Wherever she met him, she captured his attention and apparently his heart. Early versions of their meeting describe the two entering into a love match with a secret marriage in May 1464. It was an unlikely match. Most expected King Edward IV to marry a royal princess who would bring wealth and power and credibility to his young regime. Elizabeth was a widow whose husband had fought against Edward. She was 5 years older than he was, and instead of bringing wealth and prestige, she brought a family who needed positions at court and advantageous marriages. The king announced his marriage to Elizabeth while negotiations were underway for him to marry a foreign princess. The news of that marriage was greeted with shock and anger. So why did Edward IV choose Elizabeth? Well, besides any personal attraction or affection, which does seem to have been there, the choice of someone unexpected allowed King Edward IV to shift himself into a more prominent position in his own court. He set up new alliances by marrying Elizabeth's relatives to powerful noble families, and that reduced his need to rely on the powerful Warwick power base. The choice of an English rather than a foreign bride could have also been a way of connecting with his people. Furthermore, even though Elizabeth's father was a knight, her mother was a member of the royal family of Luxembourg. And she had proven she could bear sons. That was, after all, the number one job of royal wives. After unexpectedly becoming queen, Elizabeth Woodville became an unexpected rebel once more when the forces of Henry VI, remember, led by Warwick, defeated her husband. When Edward IV fled England in 1470, he left Elizabeth behind to take care of herself and her children. She retreated into sanctuary at Westminster during the second reign of Henry VI and gave birth to her first son there. Her period as rebel was short-lived, and when Edward reclaimed his crown the next year, he brought her out of Westminster and they celebrated the birth of their first son. When Edward IV died in 1483, Elizabeth expected her position to shift from queen consort to queen dowager and queen mother without a great deal of trouble. However, the late king's brother, Richard, Duke of Gloucester, moved swiftly against the proclaimed king, Edward V, Elizabeth's son and Edward IV's heir. Young Edward and then his brother, Prince Richard, were placed in the Tower of London, quote, for their safekeeping. In truth, they were never seen again. Elizabeth swiftly went back into sanctuary after her brother, Earl Rivers, and her son, Richard Grey, were arrested and then executed. Richard arranged for Elizabeth's marriage to Edward IV to be declared invalid because of a pre-contract between Edward and Lady Eleanor Butler, who was conveniently dead at the time. So Elizabeth Woodville, who planned to be enjoying the reign of her son, instead found herself an unexpected rebel once more. Elizabeth made life as difficult as she could for Richard III. Many scholars believe that while she was in sanctuary, she plotted with Margaret Beaufort, another rebel, for their children to get married and become king and queen. The notion of Henry Tudor, currently in exile in France, along with Elizabeth of York, currently disinherited and in sanctuary and powerless, becoming king and queen might have seemed impossible, but Elizabeth Woodville and Margaret Beaufort made plans anyway. In addition, Elizabeth's remaining in sanctuary was a public criticism of Richard III's reign, and she refused to come out until he publicly promised to ensure the safety of her daughters. Elizabeth might have been stripped of her royal title and have become known as simply Dame Elizabeth Grey, but she still wielded power against Richard and his regime. And after Henry Tudor defeated Richard III at Bosworth and did become King of England, Elizabeth's title of Queen Dowager was restored, and she saw her daughter crowned Queen Consort of England. Not too bad for a rebel. Now we're going to jump ahead again to meet our next unexpected rebel, Henrietta Maria of France, the queen consort of Charles I. She is the first French princess to marry a king since our friend Marguerite of Anjou, and Henrietta Maria found herself equally unpopular, first because she was French, and perhaps even more so because she was Catholic. Anti-Catholic sentiment was running high, especially in Parliament after the failed gunpowder plot. And Charles I's apparent sympathy for Catholicism strengthened suspicion of his Catholic wife. Like Marguerite of Anjou and Elizabeth Woodville, Henrietta Maria became a rebel as the result of a war. But unlike the previous two consorts, in the case of Henrietta Maria, it was not the battle between two men for the crown. It was the battle of the king against Parliament. The English Civil War, a series of battles between royalists and parliamentarians, also known as cavaliers and roundheads, raged for nearly 10 years, from 1642 to 1651. A key moment was the arrest, trial, and execution of the King of England by Parliament in January 1649. Henrietta Maria's life in England had not been easy up to that point. She'd been unpopular with the people, and it took several years for her to develop a good relationship with her husband. But she was queen consort, and suddenly she was an unexpected rebel. Henrietta Maria had been an important supporter of her husband in his battle to keep the throne. She gained European support for their cause and raised money from Catholic supporters at home and abroad. Even when she went to France for safety during the years of the war, she continued to raise money and support. The king's death was a terrible blow for her. Her son Charles moved his alternative royal court to Cologne, which lessened her influence on him. She remained in France with her children, young Henrietta, or Mignette, James, and Henry. She kept the royalist cause alive outside of England, and she is one of the reasons the monarchy was able to be restored in 1660, after the experiment of establishing England as a republic failed. She traveled back and forth between England and France for the rest of her life. In addition to her ties to the English royal family, her granddaughter Anne Marie was the grandmother of Louis XV, which means Henrietta Maria is an ancestor of nearly all the royal families of Europe. The final manifestation of her rebellious attitude was in the spreading of her Catholic faith. Her son Charles II may have become a Catholic on his deathbed, and her son James II ruled as a Catholic and married Mary of Modena after his first wife died. In fact, when James II and Mary of Modena had a son, that son turned the two of them into unexpected rebels as the Protestant Parliament concocted an elaborate version of fake news and spread the rumor that the child was not the real child of the king and queen, but was an imposter baby who had been smuggled into the royal nursery in a warming pan. Chaos ensued, and eventually James fled to France as his supporters faded away, paving the way for William of Orange and Mary Stuart to serve as joint Protestant monarchs, William and Mary. The Jacobites, who considered themselves to be the legitimate rulers, were now unexpected rebels as well. So there have been many unexpected and accidental rebels through the history of the English royal family. Thank you for joining me to hear a little bit more about the unexpected and accidental rebels and rebellions of English history. Thank you so much for joining us. Now stay tuned the rest of the month for more stories of famous and infamous rebels and rebellions. Please consider subscribing to the podcast, and I would really appreciate it if you would leave a rating and let us know what you're liking. Also, please take a moment and think about becoming a member of the Royals, Rebels, and Romantics patron family. I really appreciate all your support. And now, let's keep shaking up history together.